The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
The media matters, and what President Trump is saying about tariffs is, I think that story is being buried with the money that the tariffs are bringing in. We'll go through a full explanation of that. I'm so excited once again to have Hans von Spakovsky here because he's an attorney, just a great analyst, great mind, as somebody who worked within Republican administrations. So he's a money guy, a policy guy. And you know, Hans, you've heard me interview him many times. The famous line that I think Zioli has about Hans von Spakovsky is, Hans, baby. Which movie am I talking about, by the way? 855-839-1210. Hey, Dawn Stensland here, at Dawn Stensland on X. You can call in, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. But let's get to it, as I just want to give you some headlines. We're going to break at about a little earlier than usual because we have Hans coming up right at 10:15. So we'll get into the jobs report. The news this morning is that President Trump is going to name his new labor secretary after the other one. We've talked a lot this morning on Kale & Company was let go, demoted, whatever, because of those jobs numbers that basically the BLS, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, they've lost credibility. That's the bottom line. And speaking of losing credibility, we'll get into this, as our governor of Pennsylvania, Josh Shapiro, pointing to only one state representative who's being blamed for holding up the entire budget, which is absurd. And this has to, by many administrations, we've seen this happen in the past where they go past the deadline. And so in this one, Shapiro's administration, they're saying that billions of dollars in aid to Pennsylvania schools and human services are being delayed. And he's blaming the politically divided legislature struggle and calling on them to end the months-long budget stalemate. So this thing was due. They're a month late. It's never a good thing. And so this means back to school. Will the kids get their books? Yeah, they will. The ones who I will point out to you that suffer are the private schools. It happens every single time. I know in the administration of governor in the past, Governor Wolf, it's just felt vindictive because we all pay, the people pay, whether your kids go to private or public, you're still paying for it and you're paying for those supplies. So Pennsylvania school districts, the headline here, receiving more than $11 billion last year from the state for operations, seeing delays on at least $2 billion in payments, and that's through the month of August. That's from the administration. So tugging at those heartstrings. And so also Penn State, the state-run schools, they suffer as well because now they're slowing up on this one. We're watching it. They'll get it together. But in particular, to blame, you know, the Republicans when it takes two to tango, come on, guys, just get it together. I say fine all of them so much per day coming out of your paycheck, which is a six-figure paycheck, which also is ridiculous. They don't deserve that money. They don't work like we do 12 months out of the year. They get so much time off, so much vacation. In the summer, they get at least a month. In the winter months, in December, into January, they get about a month. They get so much time off. It's ridiculous. Don't give them that. Cut their pay. By the way, we need that money, right? Give that money to our teachers, to our cops, to our nurses, to our garbage collection, sanitation workers. I'm just calling for a redistribution of wealth. So let's talk about it. We have Trump even saying the names of Sydney Sweeney as he learns she's a registered Republican. We are laughing about this because we can't believe that this young hottie hot actress who is doing the American Eagle Jean commercials, and that this continues to have legs. This story, speaking of who has legs, but it's a crazy story that we've talked about. Andrew Torres is here for Dan Borowski, who continues to be on special assignment, and Jimmy Kelly, our great engineer, taking your calls, 855-839-1210, as we look to that. Do you have the Trump audio that I sent you, by the way? Do you have that queued up yet, Andrew?
Working on getting it now.
All right. So once you turn that around, I want to go to that because President Trump speaking out yesterday, talking about what these tariffs mean for all of us. And we'll get into this conversation because we've heard, ooh, Trump, tariffs, bad. That's all we've heard about. So tariffs, we used to have them. It was no big deal. And it was the right way to do things. Trump has talked about this for a long time. He's been consistent with this. And so it was after World War II, when Europe was decimated, they created a situation where the US of A, where we would help out. We would help out our allies in their economies, because obviously across Europe, they were suffering. And so we set up a system where basically it was a lopsided system, but it was because they were decimated by World War II. That's when the tariff system, when all of this was created. And so essentially we never readjusted. We never readjusted, and we'll get to Trump in about 2 seconds, but we never readjusted for that. Trump is saying it's time. It's time because we were not getting a fair deal. Okay, post-World War II, we get it. They needed a little help, and they were the allies, so that was agreed upon. And that's why NATO didn't pay their fair share either. Trump has said, look, they've had decades to recover. Now they have, and it's not a fair deal, so let's do a great reset. Here was Trump just yesterday talking about this.
And it's possible we'll do a complete tax cut, because I think the tariffs will be enough to cut all of the income tax. Now, we have a lot of debt that's been left to us, you know, unfortunately, over many years. We'll take care of that. But the tariffs, if people only understood the tariffs, we're going to be giving people of this country a tremendous tax cut. And we're going to start with people making less than $200,000 a year.
And so what he's talking about is that these tariffs coming in, and now they're talking about a number of $5 trillion. The number keeps going up as they're bringing in new revenue. And talking about the tariffs, he's saying they're going to work, and that's Trump saying that they will offset the debt. And so think about it like this. If you right now, you've put things on credit cards that you can't afford, and so you're paying up to almost 30% on that. So you think about, let's say you've got at least $25,000 on a credit card with almost 30%. What is that monthly nut that you're paying? It's probably your biggest payment or one of your biggest payments, right? And so you think about your mortgage, your tax bill, but think about, anywhere, depending on the interest rate, you're talking about $500 to $700 a month that you're paying on that. Get rid of that. So if you can pay down that debt, right? If you can lessen the debt, lessen the interest, that's what he's talking about with the tariffs, then offsetting all of this. So, and I know we'll get into the labor reports and the Labor Department, all of that. I do want to get into something that we didn't really touch on a ton this morning. We touched on it slightly, but President Trump also told reporters yesterday, talking about these nuclear submarines that he ordered to counter Russia, that they are now in the region ahead of U.S. Special Envoy Steve Witkoff's visit. And so, by the way, he was in Pennsylvania boarding Air Force One in Allentown, then returning to D.C. And President Trump, was asked about this, if these nuclear submarines had already been deployed to, quote, face Russia. So Trump saying he had put out on Truth Social, remember this, on Friday, that he ordered these two submarines, nuclear submarines, to be positioned in, quote, the appropriate regions. This was in response to what he considered, quote, highly provocative statements from, this is former Russian President Dmitry Medvedev. Remember him? He was the president before. And so this was about, and this is Putin's right-hand guy. So this was about potential war with the U.S. So the former Russian president is very hawkish. And so with Trump, he said that he already put out a statement and answering this is that they are in the region. Yeah, they're where they have to be. That was on Friday. But yesterday telling, as he was at Lehigh Valley International Airport, that was just yesterday, that's where he was making some of these comments and he was speaking out. So Witkoff traveling to Russia this week. And Russia state media reporting that just today that Witkoff arrives by Wednesday and they begin these talks. So this comes ahead of this Friday's deadline that Trump had set for Russian President Vladimir Putin to reach that ceasefire deal with Ukraine or face additional sanctions as well as tariffs. We have a lot to talk about with tariffs. I know there's another deadline coming up. We'll talk about it. Trump also warning about potential secondary tariffs for the purchasers of Russian energy. Remember, I told you last week we had talked about that with regard to India and those buying the Russian energy, Russian oil, etc. So we'll get into all of it. But he was just here in Pennsylvania. We also had a lot of, we'll get into this, as we had all of these illegal flyovers with these private planes. Multiple planes had to be escorted with fighter planes, escorted away from Bedminster over the weekend in New Jersey. What's up with that? So that seemed crazy and concerning to me. So we'll talk about that. But Trump once again reiterating those talking points as he was, right in front of Marine One here in Pennsylvania. He was talking about sanctions, talking about avoiding sanctions, and talking about peace and prosperity and the hope that his right-hand guy, Witkoff, could reach some kind of a deal, and mentioning those numbers, staggering, devastating numbers of these soldiers, Russian soldiers, and likewise Ukraine. And so saying, we're going to save lives. Let's have peace. Let's have prosperity. So we'll get into that. We have the great Hans von Spakovsky right around the corner. So I'll take a quick break and we'll get to your calls and your thoughts. Thanks for being here on this Monday. Here we are in August, a beautiful weekend getting underway as we start Monday morning and all the breaking news. It's the Dawn Show. That's me. We'll be right back. So we got to talk about Trump, Russia, 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 all that's going on, the jobs reports fallout. And locally, the budget debate continues. We still don't have a budget done in Pennsylvania. Bringing in my next guest, Hans von Spakovsky, senior legal fellow, Heritage Foundation, former FEC commish, DOJ lawyer. And of course, he always says his opinions are his own. Hans von Spakovsky. Thanks, Hans. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
So I saw you a little bit ago asking if Obama, or I guess by extension others, could actually be prosecuted under what's going on with the latest. I know that the CIA director, John Ratcliffe, speaking out yesterday, finding all of this information and promising that there's more to come. I saw last night he was on Fox with Trey Gowdy. I was looking at this, by the way, at 3:30 this morning. But he was on with Trey Gowdy promising more to come this week as they go through and declassify information and search for more of these files that were basically hidden. And so the question, you know, the question that keeps coming up is, oh, are Republicans just doing this to throw shade on Democrats? Is there nothing to see here? Nothing's going to come of it. Nobody's going to be prosecuted. And this is just more politics. How do you see it as somebody who's, I mean, obviously, you know, DOJ, you're an attorney, you have that legal mind, you have a lot of experience in D.C. What do you see here with what's being released?
Well, no one should look at this as just politics for this simple reason. Let's just assume that no one gets criminally prosecuted. And I'll talk about that in a second. But folks need to understand that what we have found out here is that the highest officials in the federal government, including the president, decided to abuse their power over the biggest law enforcement agency in the country, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI, which has tremendous power, and over our intelligence agencies. They decided to abuse their authority to do what? To target a political opponent and the incoming president of the United States. This is such a corrupt abuse of power that all of it needs to just be disclosed, because we need to know not only what happened, but how it happened, for two big reasons. One, so that everyone involved in this is exposed and never, ever is given a position of public trust in the government again. But second, to see what kind of potential safeguards need to be put in place, rules, regulations, new laws by Congress, to make sure this doesn't happen again. This was one of the most dangerous abuses of government power in our history. Now, on the criminal part of this, Obama, no matter how involved he was, will probably not get criminally prosecuted because, remember, last year, and he can thank Donald Trump for this. Trump has said this. Remember, when special counsel Jack Smith tried to criminally prosecute Donald Trump, he took his case all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. And the U.S. Supreme Court issued a decision saying a president is immune from criminal liability for all actions that he takes within the scope of his duty as president. Now, was that kind of abuse of conduct within the scope of his duty as president? Probably not, but you'd have to convince a judge to overcome the presumptive immunity that that Supreme Court case gives. So prosecuting him would be extremely difficult. That doesn't apply to Clapper, Brennan, Comey, all of the other individuals but apparently involved in this. All of them are subject to criminal prosecution for everything from potential perjury, lying to Congress about what they did in testimony, to, again, another charge that Jack Smith tried to use, which is interfering with an official proceeding by creating falsified evidence, false intelligence reports. I think they blatantly violate that statute. But the problem the Justice Department will run into is the statute of limitations. Remember, all of this happened when? End of 2016, beginning of 2017. The statute of limitations on most of these criminal statutes is 5 years, Don. So in order to reach these folks, because we're way past 5 years, again, the Justice Department, if they think they have a case, mm-hmm. after investigating this, they'd have to convince a judge that, well, yeah, the conspiracy started in 2016, but it didn't stop in 2017. It continued for many years after that. And so the statute of limitations didn't start to run until they quit acting as part of this conspiracy. So again, Justice Department has a hill they have to get over, but it's still a possibility.
Yeah, and that's the question that I had for you was with regard to that statute of limitations, because Comey, right. of course, was part, like he, it's really sickening when you think about it. If all this is true, and I mean, boy, Ratcliffe and others are really putting their neck out if it's some big lie or nothing to see here, as even CNN said as recently as a week or two ago, which is, that's another, this media lack of reporting on this is unbelievable to me. But, you know, if you listen to what they're saying as far as the, and for people to look at the documents, anybody can look it up. But then you think to yourself, well, wait a minute, Comey was, he was right there and he knew all of this and did not tell Trump, who's now the president. Right. So moving right. forward, right. then what does that date look like? So to me, that's an obvious one. But even could it be argued that as long as these reports that were the notes, right, that he took, that they classified and basically hid them, squirreled away someplace, as long as those were hidden away, does that count? In other words, you took evidence that would show something different and you hid that and never briefed the president of the United States, which is now Trump, on all of these issues.
That is the second way to try to get around the five-year statute of limitations. Again, you'd have to convince a judge that the individuals involved in this conspiracy did everything they could to hide what they did, and therefore the statute of limitations didn't start to run until this was discovered and this was disclosed. And that is, I'm sure, what DOJ will be looking at. Remember, when all of this started coming out and when Tulsi Gabbard turned over the first documents to the Justice Department, Pam Bondi said, I'm forming a strike force to look at this. And what that means is she's putting together a task force of people, experienced lawyers, from the relevant offices and departments inside DOJ who know how to conduct these kind of cases. And that would include folks like people from the criminal division. Also, most importantly, people from what's called the National Security Division. That's the division inside Justice that deals with espionage, terrorists, and government employees, you know, disclosing classified documents. Those are the people, frankly, that should have looked at the case that Comey investigated. Remember when he said, oh, there's no case against Hillary Clinton for disclosure classified documents. That wasn't his decision to make. That was the Attorney General's decision, and most importantly, the National Security Division, not the head of the FBI. That alone, that decision he made, shows just how bad a director of the FBI he was.
What about John Durham? I remember covering this at the time, and he and people even said, well, he's getting older, and he was sort of strange in his delivery at the time. Remember that? And he gave that report. So this was from Durham's notes that he found these things, but the FBI decided to keep it classified and bury it. And so do they re-interview? How does this work now that they've declassified Durham's original notes? Can they bring him back to just get clarity on what he found?
Oh, sure. I'm sure. I have no doubt that the strike force will be talking to Durham. But keep in mind that, you know, folks may say, well, why didn't Durham disclose these documents? Well, he couldn't because Durham did not have the authority to declassify documents. The Attorney General could have done that, but it just didn't get done. And the only reason all of this now is getting done is because we've had people come in, like Kash Patel, Don Bongino, Pam Bondi, Tulsi Gabbard, who are willing to expose this. And that is... that in itself is actually a very good reflection on Donald Trump, that he obviously picked the right people mm-hmm. for those agencies.
You know, there are some who say this is, you know, bigger than Watergate, that this is the biggest scandal that we've seen. Hans, in your professional career and your experience, have you seen something like this? Are Republicans, by saying that, blowing it out of proportion?
Oh, no, I think they are right about that. Because remember, Watergate was a handful of individuals working for the president who went out on their own. The president, Nixon, did not use our intelligence agencies. He didn't use the FBI to engage in wrongdoing. He didn't use the Justice Department. In fact, when he tried to get the Justice Department to drop its investigation of what these folks had done, remember, there were a series of resignations of the leadership at DOJ because they refused to do that. That is very different using a handful of individuals doing dirty work for you from the President of the United States directing that our chief law enforcement agencies, the DOJ, FBI, intelligence agencies, engage in this kind of wrongdoing. I think it is the worst abuse of government power that we've ever seen.
Yeah, it's sad to me that the media just really ignores the story. The story seems to be buried. No matter what is released and revealed, they're saying nothing to see here. And that's
that is correct. But then that's also because they pushed the Russia collusion hoax for years and just don't want to admit that they got it totally wrong. It just doesn't fit within their political views. I mean, it's just like this one fact, Don. Think about this, which you've gotten almost no publicity, certainly from CNN or MSNBC. Remember, it was the Hillary Clinton campaign that paid for the creation of the Steele dossier, right? Mm-hmm. Which was a total hoax. That Steele dossier was the basis for this claim that the Trump campaign colluded with the Russian government to fix the 2016 election. Her campaign paid for it. And just a couple of years ago, she and the DNC, which were also involved in this, they had to pay a big fine to the Federal Election Commission. Why? Because when they filed their campaign expense reports, they mislabeled the money that they used to pay for this opposition research to basically hide it in their campaign reports. So they tried to cover up what they did, had to pay a big fine to the FEC, and did that get any publicity? Hardly any.
Yeah, it's incredible. I know your podcast is Case in Point. You focus on Wyoming, but oftentimes you talk about election integrity. It was something
that,
you know, with Michael Whatley, who's now, you know, running for Senate in North Carolina. But when we think about election integrity, Hans, and here in Pennsylvania, it was critical. You know, Linda Kearns is a friend. We've had her on all the time talking about that. And Michael Whatley was here a lot. When you think about people pushing against election integrity and all that's happening, what do you see out there? And give us a tease for your Case in Point podcast as well, if you would.
Well, the folks who fight against basic reforms, it's as if they want people to be able to cheat and get away with it. And one of the biggest issues going on right now are state legislatures and Congress pushing to put in provisions to try to prevent people who are not U.S. citizens registering and voting. And yet there is adamant opposition to that by folks on the left side of the political aisle. And it's like, why would they be opposed to that? Well, it's because they clearly want aliens registering and voting because they think it'll help them politically, even though it's illegal for them to do that. And the same thing with President Trump. You know, President Trump has ordered federal agencies to finally start cooperating with state election officials to, for example, give them access to their alien database at the Department of Homeland Security. And what happens? They get sued over that. All these left-wing advocacy groups sue them, saying, state election officials, they shouldn't have access to information that would clearly tell them whether somebody who's registered to vote in their state is an alien. What possible reason is there for opposition to that unless you want aliens registering and voting? There isn't any.
So true. Hans von Spakovsky, Senior Legal Fellow, Heritage Foundation, thank you so much for being here and giving us your expertise. We always love when you're able, when you have the time for us. So, Hans, thanks a million.
Sure. Happy to talk to you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. So, yeah, make sure you follow him, H. von Spakovsky, Hans, baby. Which movie was I talking about? 855-839-1210. You know, we will talk also about the late, great Lonnie Anderson, WKRP in Cincinnati, a great show. Jimmy Kelly was telling me about it. I don't know when that was, a couple weeks ago, actually, some of the greatest shows. So what were your favorite movies back in the day? So she was married to Burt Reynolds, had multiple husbands over the years. A lot of you were talking about this yesterday when the news came. She was 79 years young, would have been 80 tomorrow, and really represented the times, if you will. I think that sitcom ran through 1982. I was looking it up. And so at the time, she had said that she was a brunette and that she did not want to dye her hair blonde. But when she learned that the premise of the show, sort of the funny, the comedy part of it, was that she was actually one of the smartest people in the room, that she did not fit the dingy broad or the dingy blonde stereotype, and how that kind of sitcom played well during that time period. So if you have comments about her, 855-839-1210, putting that out there. So around the corner, we're going to replay some of this interview with the CIA director, with John Ratcliffe, because I want you to hear this and what he says. So that if anybody says, oh, nothing to see here, this is a big lie, you want to hear his statements because these are bold, very direct statements about what is going on, the greatest political scandal in our nation's history, and whether or not you agree that's right around the corner. Be right back. So this is, we also have Stephen Miller talking about some of this as well. But I want you to hear this from, you know, from the CIA director, John Ratcliffe, as he's explaining what's going on here. It was an interview. It was very late, last 10 or 11 o'clock at night on Fox with an interview. Trey Gowdy, Sunday nights, gets some great, you know, because he's obviously somebody who was a high-level prosecutor, obviously worked in Congress many years, has this show. I miss him, quite frankly. He was, you know, he's really a good guy if you don't follow him, but has a great heart, but as well, he gets great guests. So I always try at 3 or 4 in the morning before work, I try to look at what he had last night late on Sunday nights. So in this one, you know, this is a great get for him as we hear directly from Ratcliffe, from the CIA director, what's going on. And he details throughout this. It's a pretty short interview, so we'll speed through it. But I want you to listen in as he talks about what's happening here and whether or not this will be a criminal probe. Listen in.
CIA Director John Lee Ratcliffe worked on this in Congress and again as DNI and joins us now. Welcome, Director. I sat beside you as Comey and Brennan were questioned for hours about Russia collusion. They never once mentioned this was a Clinton campaign plan. They knew it. They were co-conspirators. Would this ever have come out had you not declassified Brennan's notes and then Durham's annex? And for our viewers, what's new in the Durham annex?
Well, Trey, think about that, that there was intelligence from foreign intelligence services that one U.S. presidential candidate was trying to frame another candidate for treason, claiming that he was an agent of a foreign power, an agent of Russia. And that intelligence was never shared with you or I as members of congressional oversight committees on intelligence. And, you know, but for the good fortune of me being able to find John Brennan's notes and declassify that, that secret may have been hidden forever. But I was able to provide that to John Durham. And you see some of that in his annex that was declassified this week. And so what you learn in this annex that many people didn't know before was details of that Hillary Clinton plan and how it included groups like the Soros Foundation and the role that the FBI played. So before all of this started, Trey, what we did know was this, that on July 31st of 2016, the FBI did something as shocking as it was unprecedented. They opened a criminal investigation into a nominee for president, a candidate for President Donald Trump, something that had never been done before. But what you learned in John Brennan's annex this week was 6 days before that, Russian intelligence predicted that's exactly what would happen, that there was a Hillary Clinton plan and that the FBI would pour oil on the fire of a firestorm that would consume the country for the next 3 years. So think about that, Trey. Either the Russians made the greatest prediction or the luckiest guess of all time, or this intelligence was real. And of course, the answer is this intelligence was real. And how do we know that? Well, subsequently, under penalty of perjury while under oath, Hillary Clinton's own campaign manager confirmed that there was such a plan and that Hillary approved it. So that, I think, in addition to what you learn about the FBI's role that came out this week, was that this intelligence that was so shocking that John Brennan brought together the National Security Council, President Obama, Vice President Biden, Clapper, Comey, Susan Rice, and briefed them on this intelligence about a Hillary Clinton plan to frame Donald Trump, and that the CIA made the required referral of that to the FBI to investigate that as a counterintelligence matter. And as John Durham found, the FBI buried it. They didn't open a file. They didn't assign an analyst. They didn't investigate it all. They just spent the next few years, really, amplifying the lie of Hillary Clinton's Steele dossier and burying the truth of her plan to frame Donald Trump. It is the greatest political scandal that we hopefully will be the last that we'll see in our lifetime.
So let's stop it right there for a moment. So think about that bombshell, that here is Hillary Clinton. Think about the timing there July 31st, and he'll go on. But I wonder if the Bernie bros would get wind of this. Could they get Bernie Sanders to comment on this, how he was allegedly also undermined by Hillary Rodham Clinton? So it's so amazing to me, for example, that people in the media, they'll show President Trump playing golf, a stupid golf game, not for money, not for anything but enjoyment. The Secret Service is trying to rush him along because he's got, he's got meetings going on all day. But they'll say, look at Trump. He cheats at golf. And he's a cheater. Da, da, da. Here you have these newly declassified, this appendix to the Durham report, and showing this is claiming and claiming to have tangible evidence of the Clinton campaign plan to lie to the American people and to falsely tie Trump to Russia. And then the FBI doesn't investigate. Then they call this meeting. There's Obama. There's Vice President Biden. This is incredible. And that was part of, remember what I played for you on Friday as we were talking about this and as we learn more about this. But it goes into detail. This newly unclassified report, and we're just getting through this. So, number one, the potential election influence by a foreign government regarding Hillary Clinton. The false statements to the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, that FISA court, regarding FISA renewal applications for Carter Page. Here's another blast from the past. And then the FBI's failure. I'm reading from Chuck Grassley from part of his report. He's the one who highlighted this, remember, just late last week. And then number three, the FBI's failure under the leadership of then-director James Comey, Mr. Seashell creator himself, to investigate intelligence that the Clinton campaign may have created the Russia collusion hoax. And then what about the Comey-led FBI using the Steele dossier, which they knew was a Clinton campaign creation to obtain the FISA warrants on Carter Page. So here we go. So now we have Attorney General Pam Bondi, the FBI under now Kash Patel, the FBI director, and the intelligence community elements declassifying this, known as the Durham Annex. I'll tell you what, I remember debating this at the time. Do you remember this? I have to now it's going to make me consume so much time. Now I'm going to have to go back and re-listen. Remember this when Durham had to go before and it was publicized and we saw the Durham report, dun, 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 and we were waiting for it. And remember everybody was debating Durham, that he seemed strange at the time. Remember this? Now it explains it, because here's a guy and he's thinking, what a joke. What a joke this is, because he's not allowed. They're basically muzzling him. We now know for the first time. Now I have to go back and replay that and think about the Durham report. I can't wait until they can subpoena him, because now he's free to talk about it. So let's hear what Durham says about it after all this time. 855-839-1210. It really sheds new light on a lot of these different individuals. How guys like Comey and Hillary Clinton and even Biden and Obama, I mean, they were all complicit in this, in the muzzling of somebody who was allegedly free to speak about what they found, but not really. We'll get your thoughts and we'll give my take and we'll have some more audio for you and video. Thanks. If you're watching us here on YouTube, make sure you subscribe, push the little like, thumbs up button. Be right back. So I want to get a little, we played a little bit of that interview. So I want to just complete this as we think about the greatest political scandal. Was that pretty much it? Or do we have a little more toward the end? Yeah, because he goes on and talks about, and the implication here, the Hillary Clinton plan. And I think that's critical, that the one ultimately who should be held accountable is Hillary Clinton. This was her campaign, her plan, and as they've said, this was the HRC, campaign manager confirming this under oath. So let's listen in again. This is Ratcliffe, CIA director, speaking about this.
Speaking of Amplify, Director, I want you to amplify a point that you just made, because you and I both know John Brennan, the New York Times, they're still in denial. They're claiming that none of this has been verified.
Well, they have to, Trey. You know, they have to, because to do otherwise would be to confess their guilt. My critics in this regard, Brennan and Comey and Clapper, you know, they said I was wrong about there was no Russia collusion. They said I was wrong that Hunter Biden's laptop was real. So, you know, of course I was right. I was telling the truth. Our intelligence reflected that. And the same is true here. This intelligence is real. And for Comey and Brennan and Clapper to say otherwise would be to confess their guilt, to say that they gave false testimony, that they misled Congress, that they obstructed justice. So they have to put up these straw man arguments saying, well, we stand by our assessment that Russia meddled in the 2016. Well, that wasn't their argument. Their argument was that this was unprecedented, that Donald Trump was potentially committing treason, that he was an agent of a foreign power. And so, you know, they have to take that point. And to a point of the New York Times and the Washington Post, the same thing. They don't want to admit that they wrote thousands of false stories. So they don't want to give back the Pulitzer Prizes that they gained for writing those false stories. So they're doing it to do anything other than to try and fight this and say that it's not real would be to admit their guilt, to admit they were wrong, and to admit that they deliberately misled the American people, which is exactly what they did.
And so that.
Yeah, they also might want to read Hillary Clinton's campaign manager's sworn testimony, because
sworn
he admits
under oath
what you just said. They deny it, but we'll see what they say when they get under oath. Mm-hmm. Is there more to come from
Listen
either you or FBI Director Patel? Are there more shoes to drop that we should be looking for?
Yeah, there are, Trey. So, you know, people need to understand that, you know, there is no Russia collusion hoax file cabinet at the FBI or at the CIA. We have to look for these documents, sometimes that are well hidden. You have to go trace through emails and look for signs and clues that would point you to. That's how I found John Brennan's notes, and that's how we found additional documents. I've talked with FBI Director Patel. He and I will be declassifying additional documents that show just how sinister the FBI was in, you know, amplifying Hillary Clinton's Steele dossier as real and credible to be included in the intelligence community assessment, but also in how they buried the counterintelligence referral memo that I mentioned before, how they went to great lengths to try and keep that out of the intelligence community assessment. So there will be more to come. And I think that, you know, people should expect that the Trump administration will continue to shed transparency and light and truth again, because, Trey, there is no question. This was the greatest political scandal of our lifetime. No one wants to see this happen again. It derailed our country. It derailed President Trump's presidency, his first 4 years in office. And it really is a stain on our country that should never happen again. And Donald Trump is committed to making sure that it doesn't.
And it really, if you think about all of this, and I know that Kash Patel, FBI director, had posted and put out over the weekends that in 2017 and 18, Patel says, I proved the Steele dossier was fictitious intelligence weaponized by corrupt FBI officials to deceive a federal judge and unlawfully spy on then presidential candidate Trump's campaign, all paid for by his opponent. The media called me a liar. And so, you know, now he says, I'm the FBI director. And so this is basically Kash Patel and other officials now with the power of the, you know, being in the job, thank God. And so he says, you know, now I'm the FBI director. We just uncovered burn bags, rooms filled with hidden Russiagate files, including the Durham Annex. That's what I've been, you know, referring to. And that's what they, you know, are declassifying even more documents. He said, I released the prior FBI's own documents and exposed the truth. And the same media is calling me a liar again. Maybe this FBI will release more docs directly from the FBI headquarters so we can see who is lying. Wouldn't want to deprive the fake news of more bogus Pulitzers. And then dot, dot, dot. And then he puts American flags. And so there's absolutely more to come. There's another shoe or two to drop. So we will stay tuned on this important story. But to me, I am now like a dog on a bone. I'm not letting go of this. So I want names named. We know some of them. And we need to get, we paid for this. We deserve the transparency. We deserve the truth. And certainly our great President Donald J. Trump, he deserves the truth too. We're going to take a quick break, do a reset, bring you all the latest developments right around the corner.
Don Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.